I want to thank all of you for coming. I have to admit that I am more tired this Sunday morning than I usually am, and that's because, of course, last night we began Slichos, at least for those of us here who are Ashkenazim, we began Slichos. Schwer zu sein Sephardi, I guess, because if you're a Sephardi, you've been tired for a full month. We've only been tired for one day. Now, what I'd like to do with you today is slightly different. Instead of having one overarching theme, I'd like to talk about a number of halachos and slichos. Many of them are halachos that are relatively well known, and there won't be chedushim. Hopefully, everyone will find something new that they were not aware of in advance. Now, what's interesting about slichos, the Levush already points out that the way we begin Slichos is the first source, Mascho Hachazin Ashrei, Shobo Mascho La'olam, it made Tehillah V'Shevach Gadol Hashem Yisparach, and a Kaddish Achar Ashrei, V'Kein Derech La'olam Lomar Kaddish Achar Psukim, K'moshen Yisparach L'mala, V'Akach Omer Slichos Tachnunim Ko'ir V'Ir Kimin Haga, V'Misayi V'Anachmo Neida, etc., and we do that until Yom HaKippurim. In other words, the Levush points out that the structure of Slichos models the structure of davening. You have Ashrei, followed by Kaddish, right? That's like a Psukei Dezimra followed by a Kaddish. Then you have the actual tefillos, the slichos themselves sort of represent a tefillas Shmoneh Esrei with the Yud Gimel Midos that are only said the Tzibur that we'll discuss in a few minutes. And then afterwards you recite Tachanun. So it's really something that is meant to model the tefillah structure in general. Now, what's worth noting is a question that I found no one addresses explicitly, but implicitly many address. And the question is Ashrei part of Slichos? Is Ashrei just an opportunity to say the Kaddish afterwards? Because every tefillah, Rav Soloveitchik, Zichron Levrach, used to note that there are different types of Kaddishim. There's a Kaddish that is a haschola for the tefillah, like the Kaddish, for example, before Musaf. Right? That Kaddish before Musaf is like a haschola to introduce that tefillah. Right? So we want to have Ashrei, because you can't just say Kaddish without anything beforehand. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch is that you need to say Psukim. Simin Nun Hei tells us you need to say Psukim before Kaddish. So is the Ashrei just an opportunity to say Kaddish, and Slichos really begins with the Kaddish? Or is the Ashrei really a part of the Slichos itself? Now, if you're asking what the Nafgamina is, so of course, with Rachmana Letzlan, we have a number of Nafgaminas. For example, I know this is inconceivable for most of you, but let's say a person comes late to Slichos. Let's say a person shows up in Slichos a little bit late. Does that person have to start with Ashrei? Right, you come late to Slichos, so you catch up quickly. No, it's amazing how fast you can go when you come late. Okay, that's a different halacha. But the fact is, if you come late for Slichos, do you have to begin with Ashrei? Or do I say, listen, the Ashrei is only an opportunity to say a Kaddish after. I came late, I didn't hear the Kaddish. So Mehecha Tesi, why should I say the Ashrei at all? That's a question that, again, I didn't see addressed explicitly, but implicitly a number of poskim address it. And it seems to me that this issue is a machlokas between Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Rebbe Yashiv. In the new Mishnah Berurahs, in the Dirshu Mishnah Berurahs, they point out that Rebbe Yashiv feels that you should never recite Ashrei before Chatzos. And in other words, the Ashrei of Slichos has to be done after Chatzos. We'll see in a few minutes that before Chatzos, to say Slichos before Chatzos is a terrible thing, Al Pi Kabbalah. It's considered Kotzeitz Netiyos. You're like chopping down the trees which are supposed to go up, and if you chop those trees down, Al Pi Kabbalah is like a terrible thing. Rebbe Yashiv says, don't even say Ashrei before Chatzos. Rebbe Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that you can say Ashrei before Chatzos. I have to admit, I'm a big makel on this, no? Last night, in my show, we started Slichos at 12:45. Chatzos in Washington Heights was 12:47. My cheshbon for starting Slichus at 12:45 is I felt that by the time you say, first of all, everything always starts a little bit late. Again, at least in my show, we start a teeny bit late. So if we start a little bit late, so you'll have Ashrei and Kaddish maybe before Chatzos, but by the time we're getting to real Slichus, right, it's going to definitely be after Chatzos. So I felt that's okay, and I wasn't so nervous about this, and then they pointed out to me, but Rabbi Yoshev says it's a problem. Well, nice, I think Klal Yisrael has been doing this for many years. But behind this machlokes seems to be the question that we're addressing. According to Rabbi Yoshev, I should not say Ashrei before Chatzos. Rabbi Yoshev is assuming that Ashrei is a critical part of Slichus. And therefore, just like I don't say Slichus until after Chatzos, I shouldn't say Ashrei until after Chatzos. Reb Shlomo Zalman, I think, is saying that the recitation of Ashrei is only an opportunity to say a Kaddish after. And that's why Reb Shlomo Zalman himself, much of what I'm saying today, by the way, comes from the Sefer Halicho Shlomo, the Pesach of Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Reb Shlomo Zalman also says that if I come late to Slichus, what I should do is don't start Ashrei. Right? If Rachman al-Tzlan, you come late for Slichus, you start with what the Tzibor is up to. Right? Because the Ashrei is not really part and parcel of the Slichus. That seems to be the issue. Now, it's interesting that the Lashon of the Lavush is that we start Ashrei, because you always start davening with Ashrei, because Ashrei is Tehila v'Shevach Gadol Hashem Yisparach. That's like what the Rishonim say about how come davening always has Ashrei. Right? The Gemara Brachas Daf Dalid, right, speaks about how Ashrei is a tehila, v'shevach l'Hashem Yisbarach. That's really what it's coming from. You get the impression from the Levush, I think, like Rav Shlomo Zalman, that the Ashrei is just an opportunity in order to get into the real Slichus, which is the actual Slichus, not the Ashrei. And Kaddish is just the beginning, because you need a tzibor to say it, so we have to make sure you have a minyan. The poskim speak about, let's say you don't have a minyan at the beginning of Slichus, and your minyan arrives in the middle. So what you should do then, many poskim say, is you don't have to say Ashrei, because all of Slichus involves the recitation of psukim. And what I could do is, you don't say Kaddish unless you have psukim beforehand, no? Kaddish has to be said when you learn Torah Shebiksav. There's actually machlokes in the Magen Avraham Nataz and Siman Nun Hei about this point, whether you could say Kaddish after the recitation of Torah Shebaal Peh. The minig in the Beis Ovel, in Shul, is that you say, Ratzah Kaddish Baruch Hu Zakas, as you say a Mishnah. No? According to the Magen Avraham, you can't say Kaddish unless you have a Torah Shebiksav, but the end of that, Ratzah Kaddish Baruch Hu Zakas, is Shenema Hashem Chafetz Aman Tzidko Yagdil Torah V'Yadir, then there's Kaddish. So the Kaddish always comes after Psukim. So I'm saying Psukim in the Slichos, and because there's Psukim in the Slichos, so that's why you could say a Kaddish in the middle. You can really save some time if you have a minion that comes late. People could say whatever they say. And when the minion shows up, so then you just said Slichus, and then you could say the Kaddish after. There's a little bit of a discussion, the Magen Avraham Nataz and Siman Nun Hei, does the minion have to be present for all of the recitation of the Psukim? Now, let's say I have six people and I'm saying the Psukim, then four people walk in, or nine and one, right? So that one guy didn't hear any of the psukim. Does he have to be present when you say those psukim? That's also a discussion. Is it that Kaddish requires a minyan? Is that the limud HaTorah B'tzibur, right, is what generates? So those are further discussions, but it seems that the Ashrei is not really a chelek of the Slichus. That's point one. I think is the practice in Kol Yom Rishon that we wait for questions until right, the end, or actually, maybe I'll take a question very briefly, and then we'll move on. Yeah.
Rav Soloveitchik said that the purpose of before you say Ashrei, you have to sit down. And the purpose of sitting down is to acknowledge the meaning. That's the way you show that you're an acknowledgement of the meaning.
Okay.
So the same should hold for Slichus, and it should be said at the proper time.
Again, I hear the other side. It just seems to me that that what Reb Shlomo Zalman is saying actually makes a lot of sense, that the Ashrei is not really a chelek of the Slichus. It says in Shulchan Aruch that the proper time to say Slichus, let's begin with source 2. Nohagin lakum ba'ashmuris lom ha-slichus etachnunim for Rosh Chodesh elo ve'elech, that's for the Sfaradim. But in Minhag B'nei Ashkenaz, Rama says, Enokain, Elam Reish Chodesh Ve'elech, we blow after davening, and some places blow also at Ma'ariv. Is there, do they do this in prayers?
Mincha.
Okay, so Moshe Feinstein, the Tshuva, writes that blowing at Ma'ariv means that they blow at Mincha. And in prayers, I believe that the Minhag is that they blow Tashrat, Tashrat, Tarat. They blow a full cycle. Most communities only blow just a Tashrat, and that's it. The blowing of Tashrat, Tarat, Tashat that they do in Breuers is probably because they feel that in order to have a kiyum of shofar, the bare minimum is that you need a full set of 10 kolos. If you just blow Tashrat, you don't have 10 kolos at all, and you're not yotze anything. That's a big machlekes haposkim. I might speak about this in Shalom Rosh Hashanah one day, about what's the bare minimum that you need to hear of shofar. Let's say a person is blowing shofar in the hospital in Rosh Hashanah. Right? So sometimes the sick people, they don't have the energy, or the Baal Tokeya doesn't have the energy to go around and to blow 20 different times, all these different people. Do you have to blow 30 kolos for everybody? Or can you be yotze with 10 kolos? There's one line in the Mishnah Brura where he says that you're yotze with 10 kolos. Mishnah Brura has like this funny case in Tafresh about a tzibur that didn't have their shofar on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. And they send somebody and he comes back after the tzibur already was Mekabel Shabbos. Right? It's like a very funny, it's a taz that the Mishnah Berurah quotes over there. So Mishnah Berurah over there writes, and all you should do at once you're Mekabel Shabbos is only blow 10 kolos. And you're yotze. You get an impression that you're yotze with 10 kolos. I think the Minhag in Breuers is based on that. If you would hold that you really need a full set of each, so in Breuers they'd have to blow 30 kolos at davening, which I think is not done. Okay, so the Minhag of B'nai Ashkenaz is that from the...
The
need to have the proper shvarim. So that's the suffix. Right? The Gemara says that the Bavo of Kisrin instituted that we blow Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat. The question is, to Machlokes HaRishonim, the Reb Haigon seems to assume that we paskin that you're yotze with any of them. Right? You're yotze with any of them.
But he wanted to normalize.
So he wanted to normalize the practice to make sure that all the kihilos are doing the same thing. In some cases, they blew Tashrat, some Tashrat, so he wanted to make everything equal. If you hold that you're Yotze with all of them, so then you're Yotze with 10 kolos of Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat. If you hold that we have a genuine suffix, so then you would need 3 sets of Tashrat, 3 sets of Tashat, and 3 sets of Tarat, which the minhag, I think, is that when people blow shofar for a chola, they blow 30 kolos for each chola. I think that's the minhag. Technically speaking, according to the Mishnah Berurah, you could get away with blowing 10 kolos only. And my understanding is that the minhag, my understanding is that this minhag in Breuers and other German kehilas is a very old minhag of blowing a full 10 kolos after davening. That minhag probably is based on the fact that that's the bare minimum to be yotze. That's what it seems to me. Yeah.
The key is of Alel and the key is of the Shoshone.
So the question is that maybe the tekiyas of Elul are not really tekiyas to be yotze. Maybe it's just a way to inspire people. There's a huge discussion in the place, can I be yotze tekiyas of Elul with the puzzle shofar? Don't tell me about the shofar mashal is actually puzzle. Someone pointed out to me that it could be that it's kosher because the hole is in a place. Those are very complicated dinim. There is a... hole in the shofar. I don't think it changes the sound, but we have a shear of the shofar without that hole. So it still is a question about the shofar. But one could argue that tekiyas of El, you don't need a kosher shofar. Maybe you don't need real tekiyas. But the minhag and the rishonim seem to be that they were choshesh that you have to blow real shofar. I have a shear that I gave about this years ago about the tekiyas during Chodesh Elul, whether it's a real din of tekiyas. Okay, but let's continue. So in order to get people to think whether the shofar is kosher or not, adrab, it's better to use a puzzle shofar. That way people will be osik in the halachos. Okay, Rabbi Hoffman, that's... I don't think you were saying that. I just twisted what you said. That's fine. Good. So the Rama continues that they blow shachas and arvis, and oimden bashmoras lomer slichas biyom alef shalifnei Rosh Hashanah, and they get up at ashmoras. You get up early in the morning to say Slichas from the Sunday before Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is on the Monday and Tuesday, so then we begin the Sunday the day before, like we're doing this week. Okay, Gevaldik. Now, it's interesting that our practice is that we get up at Ashmores to say Slichas, or we get up... Now, technically, Ashmores is before Alos HaShachar. Right? This time of year, it's not so bad. Because if sunrise in the New York area is around 6:45, right? So if you would start Slichas at 5:15, you're getting up before Ashmores, right? Just bear, you're getting some in. So it's really not as bad as it sounds. But the Minigan communities developed that we don't really get up at Ashmores for the first Slichas. For the first Slichas, we start at midnight. No, we start a chatzos. So that's been the minig in many communities for hundreds and hundreds of years. So why is that? Why is it that all week, right, this week and next week in Yirtzeh Hashem, we're going to be saying Slichas in the morning, and last night we said Slichas at chatzos? Right? What's the reason for that? The Rambam writes that you get up at Ashmores, the Sunday before Rosh Hashanah. Somehow our practice developed that we don't. So the practice that we have is probably based on the Mat Ephraim. Many of the Minhagim of Rosh Hashanah come from Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Golias, to say for the Mat Ephraim. The Mat Ephraim comments that we're worried about being Dover Shkarim. We're worried about lying to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're never supposed to lie to anybody, but to lie to the Ribbono Shel Olam is even worse. So the Mat Ephraim says that since the first Slichas has b'motzoi menucha, kidam nucha tchilam, right? You have b'motzoi menucha. So in Lashon B'nai Adam, people don't call it motzoi menucha. They don't call it motzei Shabbos once it's already, you're getting up Sunday morning. In the Lashon B'nai Adam, it's not called motzei Shabbos anymore. So therefore, the Mat Ephraim writes, in order not to be dover shkarim, what you should do is you should have the first Slichas after Chatzos. Why not before Chatzos? So the reason not before Chatzos is somehow in the source sheets and a little. There's a Mishnah Berurah, Tavkuf Samachay Sifkatin Yud Beis, which is the end of source 2, before source 3. The Mishnah Berurah quotes, and this is in the Magen Avraham, that before Chatzos you shouldn't say any Slichas. And you shouldn't say Yud Gimel Midos at all. Never say Slichas Yud Gimel Midos before Chatzos, besides in Yom HaKippurim. Yom HaKippurim is Yom HaRachamim, so therefore you're allowed to say Yud Gimel Midos before Chatzos. The rest of the time, if you say Yud Gimel Midos before Chatzos, you might Chas HaShem be Ma'ori Res HaDin, and therefore, don't do Slichas before Chatzos. That's Paskin in the Mishnah Berurah, based on the Magen Avraham. That seems to be mainstream Judaism. So mainstream Judaism is we don't want to be Dover Shkarim. We don't want to lie to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right? So it has to be Motzei Shabbos. And it can't be Bashmaris HaBoker, even though the Ramos says you can say Bashmaris HaBoker. But we develop the practice that we say the first Slichas after Chatzos. That, I think, is the standard explanation. Now, the problem with this is that this concern of being Dover Shkarim doesn't seem to carry that much heft to it. Again, we're not supposed to lie, but Lamaisa, there are many lines in the Slichas when we're not worried about Dover Shkarim. There's Slichas for Bahab. And the Slichas for Bahab, the Nusach is Beyom Tzoyim Tainus Hazah. And many people are not fasting Bahab, and they still say Slichas. In Yeshiva, they say Slichas at Bahab, right? And I don't think we've had a minyan fasting in Yeshiva for Bahab as long as I can remember. She goes back to 93, right? So I don't think we have a minyan. So what are you doing? Isn't it Dover Shkarim? The Aruch HaShulchan raises this question. The Aruch HaShulchan says that you should change the nusach of the Slichas, and instead of saying Tainus, you should say Tefillah every time. Remember, as a boy in Camp Monk, so Rabbi Monk Zichron Levracha used to tell the children who weren't fasting that when you say Aneinu on the fast days, you shouldn't say B'yom Tzayim HaTainus HaZeh, you should say B'yom Tefillah HaZeh. Rabbi Monk used to, Rabbi Josh Silverman Zichron Levracha used to tell us the name of Rabbi Monk, or Rabbi Monk would make this announcement that we should change the Nusach. Anyone else remember this on Camp Monk as a kid? This goes back to ancient history. So that's because of the concern of Dover Shkarim, but most people are not worried about the Dover Shkorin. There are many lines in the Slichas. You say Shachar Kamti in the Slichas. Right? Shachar Kamti probably means also to be Mo'eres HaShachar. The Aruch HaShulchan says that today that many people say Slichas after light already. Many people don't do it Ba'ashmoris HaBoker. The minig is that we say Slichas just before davening to make davening a little bit longer. So the Aruch HaShulchan says don't say Shachar Kamti. But Lamaisa, we do. Lamaisa, we say these things. So what's the pshat? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach argues that he thinks it's not called Dovash Gorim since Klal Yisrael does it this way. The fact that I'm different. I could say Moitzai Menucha this morning. In my show, we had a minyan for Slichas this morning also. Right? They started at 7:30 and Shachar started at 8. They had... Right, can they say Motzai Menucha? The answer is, yeah, everyone says Motzai Menucha. Why? Because it's supposed to be Motzai Menucha. Right? So the proper time for this particular Slichas is then. And that Lecha Ora is what the common practice is. Okay, let's go on. The proper time for Slichas is supposed to be either Ashmaris HaBoker, or the proper time for Slichas is supposed to be after Chatzos. Don't say it before Chatzos because that would be Kotzeitz Netiyos. That would be messing up the whole Kabbalistic world. Yet the minig developed in many communities, especially if you have a Choshev Achazim, it's Hagita Shtimer. So the minig is that people are taking buses, right, Motzei Shabbos, to travel out to hear Chazen Helfgut do Slichas last night. No? Helfgut started Slichas at 10:30. To get from the five towns to Helfgut Slichas at 10:30. Out in the Hamptons, you have to leave punkt, right after Shabbos, because it's Mahalach Shloshes Yomim to get to the Hamptons. It's like the farthest place from the planet. No, Staten Island and the Hamptons. There are no two places that are further away. I don't know how it worked out like this. But, so, they're saying Slichas before Chatzos. Now, obviously, we understand why they're doing it. They're doing it because, first of all, you have a Choshev Achazin, right? The Slichas is going to take him an hour and a half, right? A regular Chazin can chick-chock in 30 minutes, but with a world-class Chazin, it could take an hour and a half, so they want to make sure that they're done at a reasonable time. So they start at 10:30. Okay, I understand the motivation, but it's really problematic. It's really problematic. L'cha'ora, Reb Moshe Feinstein is the makel on saying Slichas before Chatzos, right, against the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berura. Reb Moshe only writes that you could do this in a situation that Yispatlu also had Sibor Miyas Slichas. In a situation that if we don't have Slichas before Chatzos, so the Tzibor won't say the Slichas at all. So then you could be matib and get a Horas Shah Gam Mitzchila. Right, these things don't have a makar in the Gemara. It only comes from the Kabbalah Sram. But you could only go as Harasha. And you get an impression from Moshe, they sing as Harasha. In other words, you shouldn't do this every year. Occasionally, this one year, we can't have people coming after Chatzos. So this one year, we'll have a minyan before Chatzos. Then Moshe writes that if you do this, you should try to be mechaven the time of the changing of the Ashmoris. We're going from Ashmor Rishona to Ashmor Rishniya. That's what Reb Moshe writes. The practice developed in many communities for elderly people and for others that they say Slichas earlier at night. Right? When I became the rabbi of my shul, so they used to have Slichas after the 10 o'clock Ma'ariv. And I'm...
Shloshes
Amidos? Shloshes Amidos. They say everything. They say... Shloshes Amidos is all about Erev Rosh Hashanah Slichas. Yeah, they, all of the Slichas, they would start, they'd have a minyan after a 10 o'clock Ma'ariv. When I became the rabbi of the shul, we didn't have a regular 10 o'clock Ma'ariv. We only had a 10 o'clock Ma'ariv when there was Slichas. That was, and they did that to have Slichas at like 10:10, right, after Ma'ariv is over. So I wasn't so happy about it, but I realized that there are many people who just won't come to Slichas unless you have this earlier Slichas. What I did as a little bit of a takana is I changed Ma'ariv and Shul to 10:30, because if Ma'ariv is at 10:30, so then you're done with Ma'ariv at around 10:40, and if you could stretch it to 10:45, 10:45 ends up being the time of the changing of the Ashmoris in the New York area. So the reason why in my show we have 10:30 Ma'ariv is during this time of year for Slichas is based on this cheshbon. I'm not happy about it. I don't daven at that Slichas. I try to daven earlier in the morning. You could really get Slichas Bashmores HaBoker, and Slichas after sunrise is better than saying Slichas at this time, because really, Al Pi Kabbalah, it's a bad thing to say Slichas this early. It happens that I saw that Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky, in his sefer, it's called Kobetz Halachos or something. Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky is a big makel. He writes that the minhag devar that they say Slichas early at night and let them do it. Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach apparently was very upset by these early Slichas in his earlier years. Later on, he himself went occasionally when he didn't have the kolchos to the earlier Slichas, and he wrote that the reason why he started going is because he found that in certain communities in Poland, this was the practice. Apparently, the minig in certain communities was that they would say a Slichas at the change in Ashmaras. Remember, it says in Shulchan Aruch Siman Aleph that there's certain Zmanim which are considered an Eis Ratzon. The changing of Ashmaras is an Eis Ratzon, Chatzos Laila is an Eis Ratzon, Ashmaras HaBoker is an Eis Ratzon. These are ideal times to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So in order to hit at these ideal times, so apparently there are certain communities that would say early Slichas, which is again against the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham is probably reflecting Minhagim in Germany, you know? Magen Avraham is German. Apparently there are Minhagim in Poland, Reb Shlomo Zalman said, going back in the Sfarim, way before him, that they would say an earlier Slichas, and that's why he himself was more inclined in his later years to do that. Okay.
What did they do in Alaska?
What did they do in Alaska? I've never been in Alaska. I don't know. In Alaska, all the Zmanim are really messed up, although this time of year, I think it's not as bad as it is during the summer, right? We're talking about the north of Alaska or the south of Alaska. I think in the north of Alaska, your time is messed up all the time. In the north of Alaska, you're not going to have a real sunset, and that's a whole other shiur about how you keep Shabbos in those areas. In the south of Alaska, in most places of the world, this time of year, you do have some sort of sunset and some sort of normal sunrise, and once you have a nighttime, you can divide it up. Now, again, people probably don't do that. The minig in Copenhagen was that they didn't fast the entire fast day, ever. They would only fast till like 10:30 at night or something. Some of the Tanaisim in Copenhagen end like at 2 o'clock in the morning. There was a minig in Copenhagen, the Chaya Adam references it, that people would break their fast very early. Again, I don't know. That's a whole other shiur. It's a much longer conversation. It's an interesting point. I just don't know. Yeah?
I don't know if you can get that. I heard it said that Rav Soloveitchik in his later years would also daven at the 10 o'clock.
Yeah, in the later years when the Rav didn't have the kolchos, correct. Rav Shechter, I've heard that from Rav Shechter. I don't remember if he wrote it or not, but the basic issue is that Al Pi Kabbalah you shouldn't, but Lamaisa we're not such Mekubalim. I think that's really what it comes down to. Okay.
But it sounds more like if you can't do it, if you don't have the cost to do it.
If you don't, correct. It's better.
Like, you know, it's like a hurrah for people who can't do it. Not that people who could do it, but just don't find to get up early in the morning that they should do it.
But the fact is, I think Shas Hadrach is Kediyah V'Domi. And people who won't do it, people who just aren't going to get up early in the morning, so I could hear a cheshbin to institute such a slichas. Remember, we're not talking about like an isser like Chilul Shabbos. We're talking about an isser that's based on ideas in Kabbalah, which I don't really understand. So I think there is a little more room to be lenient. Yeah.
Is there any discussion also about the quality, particularly at Rosh Hashanah, that people have to go to work at Rosh Hashanah? So they'll go to shul anymore. It's not they won't go, but they'll zip it through. And if they go at night, they'll...
Yeah, so the thing that I was thinking about putting on the source sheet, but I didn't, is it true in Arugas Habosem, in my youth, I used to be mega like this, that the question, someone asked Arugas Habosem, is it mutter not to say Slichas if the Slichas will interfere with your learning? If you're a yeshiva guy and you want to really learn, and you're living life in a fog, because you're doing slichas. I used to say slichas here in yeshiva at midnight every night. Rav Shechter goes to midnight slichas every night. He tries to take a nap beforehand, although usually people get him on the phone and he's not able to. But you end up being in a fog all day, so you won't learn properly. So do you have to say slichas? So the Arugas Habosim thinks that on Beis Vehei, on Monday and Thursday, which are more of a Zman of Ratzin, so then you should try to say slichas. And the rest of the week, if you're a Ben Torah, and you're it will disturb your learning, so he's Mekal. Chacham Ovadia writes not to rely on this. I have to admit, Eskatai Ani Mazkar Ayom, which I'll say it like that. But the fact is, I think that there is room to be lenient on a certain level if a person can't function without it. So you should try to say slichas in the morning. Try to say slichas in the morning. Lamaisa, it's not so difficult. You just have to be careful to go to bed at a normal time, to wake up half an hour earlier. Sesame Mitzvah is harder than before Rosh Hashanah, but it is doable. Yeah.
Correct.
And the Hanami, right? In other words, the idea is that they couldn't get a minyan at the proper time. So what do you do? So Moshe was making as a horasha, like we pointed out. Okay, fine. The poskim will say that it's tov ma'at bekavona meharbe shalom bekavona, that if a person daven slowly, so you're not able to say all of the slichas, so you should say a little bit of the slichas with proper kavana. What does a little bit of the slichas mean? Does a little bit of the slichas mean, again, you're supposed to say the yud gimel midas together with the tzibur. So should I end up saying the first, let's say, 10 lines of each paragraph of the slichas? Or should I say one complete paragraph of slichas, interrupting in the middle with yud gimel midas 3 times? Right, that's the question for the slow daveners among us. The pashtus is that you should say a complete paragraph of slichas. To say half of a paragraph, it's nishtahi nishtaher. There's like nothing there. If a person davens slowly, so you should try to complete the paragraph, and there's nothing wrong with interrupting for the yud gimel midas, even though there are other halachas and slichas, like those tachnunim in Lashon Aramis, we don't say unless there's a minyan. But if you have a minyan in the room, even if they're not all saying it, that's good enough. Like the Kedusha of Uvol Tzion, right? If you have a minyan in the room, you could say it even though you're not saying it with the tzibur. That's what the Mishnah Berurah paskens. It happens that for Yud Gimel Midos, some treat it like it's Mamish Adavar Shebe Kedusha, which means you need all 10 people, all 10 men, to be saying it together. Or L'chol HaPachos, some say you have to start with all 10 men saying it at the same time. If I'm slower in my recitation of the Yud Gimel Midas, so then I'm up to Chanon. When they're up to Venake, right, that's also okay. But based on this, what we do is that we interrupt in middle of the Pizmin that we're saying. We interrupt for the Yud Gimel Midos. We don't assume that because you have a minyan present, you could say Yud Gimel Midos on your own. No, they have to all be saying it together. But for Mache O Mase, for the paragraphs in Aramaic that we only say with a minyan, for those, it's good enough if you have a minyan in the room. That seems to be the consensus of the later Sfarim. There is a discussion about if you don't have a minyan and you're saying slichas, so obviously you can't say yud gimel midas, but it says in Shulchan Aruch that you could say it b'negin or b'taimim, that you could say it with trup. So Reb Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva that he thinks saying it b'negin or b'taimim means that you don't need to say trup. Some people don't know trup. I know Balei Kriya who don't know Trump. Right? These things happen. So the Moshe Feinstein writes that even if you just have like a sing-song, you have a little tune that you're singing the Yud Gimel Midos to, that's good enough to be Yotzei saying it b'negin of a taimim. I think the idea behind this is that the Yud Gimel Midos, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah Yud Zayin, is Hera lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Rabbeinu Seder Tefillah. Meaning, we don't understand exactly how this is a tefillah, saying the midas of the Ribbono Shel Olam. How is that a prayer? But the fact is, it's a prayer. We're beseeching the Ribbono Shel Olam that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should act with us in accordance with these Yud Gimel Midos of Rachamim, etc. So it's a tefillah. If I say it b'negin of a taimim, it's not tefillah. Saying it b'negin of a taimim means it's it's not derech tachnunim, it's not prayer, it's like limud haTorah, or it's like a song. It's different. And because it's different, that's why presumably that is going to be okay. Again, obviously you should try to have a minyan for Seichas. Like, but if a person can't have a minyan, meza siba shehi, so to say the yud gimel midas bin negin of a taimim, that also works. There is a discussion in Shulchan Aruch about, since that Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that this atef HaKadosh Baruch Hu kishaliach tzibor, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiviyachol put on the talis and he wrapped himself like a shaliach tzibor to say the slichis, so therefore the shatz has to be misatef with his talis. Now Rav Soloveitchik felt that this is not a din only on the shatz, but for Amira Slichus in general, everyone has to have a talis. I guess the Rav liked Yakisha practices or the like. And the Rav instituted that everyone on Yom HaKippurim, all of the men in Shul, should wear a talis on Yom HaKippurim. Because even though for regular Slichus, you could say the main tefillah isn't the Slichus, but on Yom HaKippurim, the Rav felt that everyone should wear a talis. In order to fulfill this Gemara about this Atif HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kishaliyat Tzibor, and somehow we're imitating the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now, when we daven Slichus, it's too early in the morning. It's either Chatzos HaLayla or it's Ashmaris HaBoker. It's too early in the morning to make a bracha on the talis. And therefore, the Taz is bothered by Akasha in Source 5. The Taz writes that since we have in Simin Yud Ches that a Ksus Laila doesn't get a bracha, so Zok the Taz, V'li Nira Tamua, the second line. I don't know why the spacing is a little bit off. I've been having this problem with my source sheets all year. Actually, Rabbi Waitman just gave me an Eitzah to try to fix this on the source sheets by cutting and pasting it to Notepad instead of directly into Word. Hopefully that will help. But the second line looks like it's in some sort of Chinese, but really it's Reli Nira Tamua. They came into Laharosh Chai Bebracha B'Ksis HaMiyuchad L'Yom Afir L'Vashol B'Layla K'mashgos HaSim Yud Ches is a famous machlokes in Shulchan Aruch between the Rosh and the Rambam. When we say that a Ksis Laila is potter from Tzitzis, is that a din in the time? Or is that a din in the Beged? Doesn't mean that pajamas are potter from Tzitzis? It doesn't mean that stuff that I wear at night is potter from Tzitzis. A din in the Gavra is a din in the Beged. According to the Rosh, there's a Ksis that's M'Yuchad L'Yom. Even if I wear it on Laila, I'm Chai in Tzitzis. So Zuk Nataz, V'lo M'Yachnis Atzmo T'chilo L'Zeh Sh'Yubash Dovar sheyesh bo safek bracha v'lo yivarech. So the Taz, why should you put on the talis at night? You're going to enter into a safek bracha lechatchila. Even though safek bracha is lahakel, based on the rule of safek drabbanon lahakel, Zok the Taz, safek drabbanon lahakel does not mean that you're allowed to deliberately create a safek drabbanon. You should try to avoid it. And therefore the Taz says, why should you wear a talis that at night, when you're going to be getting involved in the question, do you make a bracha? V'kach nirali devadei below atif haklal iyev shem yishum kvoit hashchina u'befrat beslicha she'omer v'yavar v'yisa b'gmar sh'nesad v'kadosh baruch kashat. Sometimes you can't put the talis on without atif. It happens that the Mata Ephraim writes that that's what you should do, no? Mata Ephraim writes that you shouldn't wear your talis over your head when you daven for the amud slichas, because this concern of the suffix brachas, Matthew Fine says, don't wear your talis overhead, it's without atifa. The Taz says, that doesn't work, because the Gemara says, Nisatei v'kadosh baruch hu kishaliach tzibor. But rather what you should do, ala yikach talis chaveiro, bezelo yavar klum, ki kvar hochachnu, mehilchot tzitzis, nein levarech atasha ula, etc. So the Taz says that you should not take your own talis, you should borrow a talis from your friend. The implication from the Taz that you should not even take a talis shul tzibor. You should not even take a shul talis. And that's why the Mishnah Berurah paskins. Borrow your friend's talis. Don't even take a talis of the tzibor. Because a talis of the tzibor, you own the chelak in it. And if you own the chelak in it, it could be that you have to make a bracha. If Shlomo Zalman Arbach raises the question, he says, what do you mean I own the chelak in it? Maybe if you have a very small shul, and it's a brand new talis, so a talis is worth $50, $60, $70. I haven't bought a talis in a while, so maybe my numbers are completely off. But maybe you have a small shul, a talis, and so there's 10 members, and the talis is worth $50, so each person has a shava pruta. You have a large shul, 400 or 500 members, not you won't have a Shava Pruta in the Talis. And Rashi writes in Sukkah Chav Zayin that in the context of a Sukkah Sha'ula, Rashi says that if you don't have a Shava Pruta in it, so then you're not going to be Yotze because it's not Lachem. And therefore, right, Sotar Shlomo Zalman may be with our talisos in our shuls that you don't have a Shava Pruta in it, maybe you can take a Talashot Tzibor. That's his cheshbon. Now, this issue is a large issue in the poskim, in other contexts. The Minchas Chinuch is bothered by the Kash. He says, according to that Rashi in Sukkah, anything that's pachos mishava pruta is not yours. So, zot the Minchas Chinuch, how you ever yotze dalam minim? Because the dalam minim, we know, has to be shalachem, and the aravas are not worth a shava pruta in our communities. Because aravas are very... I know, they saw aravas for like $5 for two. But lamesa, again... Right, unless you could buy aravas, right? Aravas grow rampant; they grow anywhere. So the minchas chinuch is bought by the kasher. According to this Rashi, maybe it's not shalachem. One could argue this is something that we spoke about in the Kolo Yom Rishon a couple of years ago. That this is really Rashi l'shitaso. No, Rashi writes in Avodah Zarah Ayin Aleph that pachas mishava pruta is not mamin. Tosfos there in Avodah Zarah Ayin Aleph assumes that pachas mishava pruta is mamin. The only thing is, it's like chatzi shir. Right, the Gemara says that goyim get killed, right, if they are gozel pachos mishava pruta. The question is, why is it that Bnei Yisrael don't get killed, right, and goyim do get, well, we won't get killed anyway. How come for Bnei Yisrael it could be, it's not even a full-fledged aveira, and for goyim it is. So there's two approaches in poskim based on the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos of Avodah Zarah Ayin Aleph, but Rashi's approach is that Pachas mishava pruta is not considered mamin. Goyim get killed because the lashon gemara is mishum tzarei le Yisrael. It's not a din gezel; it's just a din tzar. That's why Rashi seems to learn that gemara. Tosfos has a totally different approach. So Rashi l'shitaso that pachas mishava pruta isn't mamin. According to Rashi, we could have this question in the minchas chinuch regarding the arava and this ha'ara l'kula of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach regarding using the talis shel tzibur, etc. Yeah. So that's the question. I can't own it. Right? I can only own something that I have the ability to sell. Again, I know that we could question what ownership means in halacha. There's a lot more to say. But Rashi understands that pachos mishava pruta is not shalachem, meaning you don't own it. Ownership is not shayach when something pachos mishava pruta. That's Rashi Shita. Tosfos seems to disagree. I mean, on a certain level, yes. On a certain level, yes. But there's much more to say about these topics. It will derail us. Let's try to move on. So he doesn't discuss that question. I assume that the talis shel tzibur is only for the men in the tzibur. You have to make a cheshbon as to how many men you have, and whether you have a shava pruta for each person in the talis. That's what I'm assuming. Okay. Reb Shlomo Zalman also has another kula that he's bothered by the kasha. According to the Taz, how come I'm only makbid to take the talis shel chaveiro for slichas? Every night when you daven Ma'ariv, the Shaliach Tzibur puts on the talis, and he takes a talis shel kohal. How does he do that? That's Reb Shlomo Zalman's taina, right? Because l'chori, you're entering the same suffix. So Reb Shlomo Zalman thinks that maybe what the Taz means, according to him, it's not a problem if it's a large Tzibur. But even if you don't assume this cheshbon, Shlomo Zalman says, maybe the Taz is only worried by slichas because I'm going to put on the talis, and I'm going to continue wearing the talis after daybreak, right? So then I'm wearing a talis without making a bracha. Maybe that's the Taz's only problem. Now, it's a lo b'mashma in the lashon of the Taz, right? The nafka mina says of Shlomo Zalman is that he thinks that the shaliach tzibur for the last night's slichas, motzai menucha, right? You're starting at chatzos halayla. There's no way, we hope, that you're going to continue until after daybreak. Right, Rachmana Litzlan, if you continue until after daybreak. So if that's the case, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, maybe in that situation you can wear your own talis, you can wear a talis shel kohal. But again, I don't think that's what the talis really means. Yeah?
Why is it Does it matter if you're a member, if you're a member of the shul or not, as far as being in
the again? So the talit is technically the property of all the members of the shul, yeah. And in a large community where they receive many guests, which is basically everywhere today, the assumption is that they're being machneid also for anyone who happens to join.
Anyone.
Right? Anyone who happens to show up. Okay, and the chanami.
Well, also, the person got a marvet is not necessarily misate for the talis. He just puts it on for kavanat tzibur.
Correct. So that's a further further question that we're not really getting into that relates to that matzah frame that we spoke about before. To be chai, when we say lehis atef pitzitzis, right? Does that mean that you really have to put it over your head? If you just put it on at ma'ariv, is one could argue that maybe you're not chai ben sitzis. On the other hand, lemaisa, it's being mechamim leguf. It would seem that it still is difficult. The eights of the matzah frame is questionable for other reasons as well, which relates to the point that you just made. Yeah.
What if there's no talis?
If there's no, you should have a talis for the slichas. Because nesatef hakadosh baruch hu kishleiach tzibur. If there's no talis, I guess he says slichas without a talis. But you should have. It says in Hilchos Avelos that there's a chiyuv of atifa by wearing a hat. Yeah. Then avel technically has a chiyuv of atifa. The shach writes that the avel should take his head and move the brim down or move it lower on his eyes. There is a kiyum of some sort of atifa if you're wearing a hat, but for slichas it has to be with a talis. That's the lashon of the Gemara. Okay. There's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch about whether you make birchas haTorah before reciting slichas. There are two opinions in sources 6 and 7 as to whether you're allowed to recite psukim derech tachanunim before birchas haTorah. The Ramah writes that the practice of Ashkenazim was that they did recite Pesukim Derech Tachanunim before Birchas HaTorah, but the Magen Avraham interprets that Ramah to mean only in those communities where they would daven in such a way that they'd be reciting only those communities that they recited Birchas HaTorah after Karbanis and davening. Right. Did they do that in Breuers? Is Karbanis before Birchas HaTorah?
No.
Before. Right. Karbanis is after Birchas HaTorah. Correct?
Yeah.
So I think, apparently there was an old minigan that the Ramah was quoting that they would say Karbanis before Birchas HaTorah. Zok Magen Avraham, that all the Ramah means that you're allowed to say Psukim, Derech Tachanunim, etc. is in those communities. But since we don't have that practice anymore, the Magen Avraham assumes that you have to say Birchas HaTorah before Psukim Derech Tachanunim. And therefore, Yemei HaSlichos, you should say Birchas HaTorah before saying Slichos in the morning. This is actually, that's how we pass in the Halach, say Birchas HaTorah first. But this question is relevant to understanding the nature of Birchas HaTorah. Is Birchas HaTorah bracha of Shavach v'Hodah? Is it a Birchas HaMitzvah? Or there's a third razzle-dazzle possibility that Birchas HaTorah is actually a Birchas HaNenen. Just like when I eat an apple, I get a geschmack, I like the way the apple tastes, I have to make a Birchas HaNenen. The Stapler has an essay, and the Levush seems to say this explicitly, that Birchas HaTorah is a Birchas HaNenen. It's a good drasha to give, like on Shavuos time, that Birchas HaTorah might be a Birchas HaNenen. The fact is that that's not the mainstream opinion. The mainstream opinion is that Birchas HaTorah is either Birchas Shevach v'Hoda'ah or Birchas HaMitzvah. That might be relevant for our discussion. If it's a Birchas Shevach v'Hoda'ah, Reb Chaim famously explained that the reason why women who don't have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah still make Birchas HaTorah, Reb Chaim famously explained that Birchas HaTorah is a bracha on the chafza of Torah, which probably means that it's a bracha of Shevach v'Hoda'ah. It's a bracha of thanking the Ribbono Shel Olam for this magnificent institution called Torah. That's Birchas HaTorah. Right? Now, if it's a Birchas Shevach v'Hoda'ah, it's a bracha on the chafz of Torah, even if I have no mitzvah in Torah, but this is a text of Torah, so then I have to make a bracha. So the psukim that I say at Slichas, when I'm not learning, when I'm saying it derech tachanunim, I'd have to make Birchas HaTorah. But if it's a Birchas HaMitzvah, since at Slichas I'm not learning, one could argue that there's no chayiv to recite Birchas HaTorah beforehand. Again, our practice is that we do recite Birchas HaTorah before Slichas, but the question should revolve around whether it's a Birchas Shevach v'Hoda'ah or Birchas HaMitzvah. I just want to spend the last 5 minutes discussing the big issue that comes up in Slichas, which is praying to angels. We say in Sliches, Machnisei Rachamim, Hachnisei Rachameinu Lefnei Bal HaRachamim. I believe this is in the Sliches of all Ashkenazi Kehillos. It's always printed. It's always printed, just many people skip it. It's not only the Slicha of Machnisei Rachamim. There is another Slicha for tomorrow. Malachei Rachamim, Mishar Se Elyoin, Chalun Apenei Keel B'meitav Higayon. Right? That's also appealing to the Malachim to beseech on our behalf to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Chalun Apenei Keel B'meitav Higayon. And there's an article in Yeshurun in Volume 3 by Reb Shlomo Sprecher, where he points out that there's some 30 different piyutim that are said in various kehilos that involve beseeching malachim. The tefillah of the tokeya before tkiya shofar involves beseeching the malachim. And this is very, very problematic, because the Rambam tells us in the Ikar HaChamishi, the Rambam in the 13 principles, principle number 5, the Rambam writes, Shehu yis'ale hu asher oyla avdol aroma lefarsim gidul aso mishmato. Only the Ribbono Shel Olam should we pray to. We should only pray to God directly. And we don't do this, we don't elevate anyone else besides the Ribbono Shel Olam, even the angels, because the Rambam says that the angels are defined, they're limited in terms of their abilities, and therefore we don't beseech angels. So how could it be that we say Machnisei Rachamim? So Lamaisa, this has been an issue for a very, very long time. If you follow some of the sources that I give you, the Shibboleth Haleket, who was a Rishon from the Beis Medrash of the Bali HaTosfos, is already bothered by this kasha. The Shibboleth Haleket says, yeah, you know what, I have some Gemaras that say that you can pray to angels. Sanhedrin Mem Daled says that everyone should strengthen you, and that means, Dr. Rashi, that the malachim should strengthen you. So the Rashash writes on that Gemara that this is the source of saying Machnisei Rachamim. And the Rashash was preceded in this regard with the Shibboleth Haleket, who already said that. Now, there are many Rishonim who don't assume this. The Meiri learns that Gemara, Shiuakoma Amzen Es Kocho, that you should have many friends, and your friends can daven for you. If you have a lot of friends and you're in a difficult situation, you know your friends will daven for you. And in the Perish HaTzvilos of Reb Yehuda ben Yakar, who's from the Beis Medrash of the Ramban, he also says, Shiuakoma Amzen Es Yado doesn't mean that you should beseech the angels. You're not allowed to beseech the angels. It's a terrible thing. Rather, Yokoma Amsen Siyodo means, again, that you should have a lot of friends to help you with the tefillahs. There are other Gemaras that speak about how the Malachim don't understand Lashon Aramis, and that seems to imply that we do pray to angels as well, but there are ways out. In some of the Rishonim, they point out that all those Gemaras mean that the angels don't understand Aramis, that not only the angels not understand Aramis, but we don't understand Aramis well. Read a section in Unklus. It's very hard to follow, right? We don't understand Aramis as well. Read Daniel. Daniel is the biggest raya. Right? It's such a hard sefer to understand sefer Daniel. Right? Aramis is not something that we understand. And therefore, many Mefarshim comment that that's what the Gemara means. The Gemara means that we also don't understand Aramis, and we shouldn't daven in Aramis because we won't have proper kavana.
But now, Gemara did understand
Aramis. Yeah, but they probably understood Hebrew better than Aramis. And to have proper kavanah, you have to really know what it means. What's interesting over here is that the recitation of Machnisei Rachamim was debated by Rishonim, the tshuvas of by Gaonim. Reb Shri Ragon has a tshuva about this. Among the Rishonim, they were debating it. And they continue debating it in modern times. In the Encyclopedia Pachad Yitzchak, he has like 50 pages about a debate in the town of Trieste, whether they should take these slichas out. The debate changed a little bit around the time of the Reform. The Reformers basically were trying to change things. And one of the low-lying fruit that they wanted to change were these slichas that seemed to imply that people pray to angels. So therefore, The reformers tried to get rid of it. And once that happened, so the entire conversation changed. And the Chassam Sofer in the Tshuva on Kuf Samach Vav, where he basically agrees with the Maharal of Prague that you should get rid of Machnisei Rachamim, but he doesn't say he got rid of it. The Chassam Sofer wrote, I daven slichas long myself, and people didn't realize that, like, my tachanun is taking a long time, and I don't say Machnisei Rachamim. And the other things the Chassam Sofer wouldn't say on his own, but he allowed the Tzibor to say Malachei Rachamim, Mishar Sei Elyon, etc. And in the Tshuva of Yehuda Asud, who was actually an opponent of Rabbina Hirsch, when Rabbina Hirsch was in Oldenburg, I believe. So Rabbi Yehuda Asud and his tshuvas in the Yehuda Yale, he also says that if you read the Svarim who are opposed to the saying of Machnisei Rachamim, etc., they don't say it's Avodah Zarah, which is what would emerge from the Rambam. Rather, they say don't do it, it's not proper. Rav Soloveitchik has a famous essay where he argues that to say Machnisei Rachamim is a terrible thing because the whole idea of Tefillah is supposed to be democratic. It's supposed to be that we, as whoever we are, can connect directly to God. And we don't need, you know, the Catholic Church, the Mashal, has keys as the papal flag. No, there are keys on the flag, because they assume that the Pope is the only one who has the keys to really open the heavenly gates. We disagree fundamentally. We hold that every individual can connect to the Ribbono Shalom directly. And Zuck Rav Soloveitchik, to say Machnisei Rachamim undermines the entire Yesod of Slichus, the entire Yesod of Tefillah, because everybody is supposed to be connecting to Ribbono Shalom. Huh?
Angels that referring to are the ones that the person himself created through his mitzvahs.
Okay. Who says that?
At the Siyum Hashas,
the Daf Yomi, two Siyumim ago, they had Abish Brut. Mordechai ben David has a song, Machnisei Rachamim, and they had Abish Brut sing that song, Gazdakka during Yemei Haslichas.
So they introduced it
with this whole Hakdama that it's really problematic, Alpi Halacha, to say it. And I think basically what's emerged in our Siddurim, in the Machzorim, in our Slichas books, is that it says many people have a problem with saying Machnisei Rachamim, but we still say it anyway. And the reason why that happened is probably because once this became like a major shtick of the reformers, so we're not going to change things because they took it on. There is a tshuva that Reb Shlomo Sprecher, in his Maimer quotes, that Rabbina Hirsch wrote to his son-in-law. He had a son-in-law, Michael Levy, apparently. So his son-in-law was involved in the founding of Machzikei Hadas, which is like the Austrian Orthodox equivalent in London. And in that tshuva, Rabbina Hirsch basically doesn't completely defend saying Machnisei Rachamim, but he quotes all the sources in Chazal that sound like it's not so problematic, and you get the impression from the way he's saying it that you can't get rid of it now once it became a yesod of the reformers. I think that is part of the discussion. It happens that many poskim take a defensive approach to the recitation of Machnisei Rachamim, and they say that if you read the Ikar HaChamishi of the Rambam carefully, the Rambam's saying that's considered Avodah Zarah if a person builds up some intermediary. Remember, for the Rambam, Avodah Zarah began Bimei Enosh, when the people said, if the Ribbono Shel Olam is so great, and the Ribbono Shel Olam made a sun and a moon, which is so amazing, let's worship the sun and the moon also. Right? Which means Avodah Zarah began through intermediaries. If that's the case, Avodah Zarah began through intermediaries, so to pray to an intermediary, to elevate an intermediary, to give the intermediary power and assume it has some authority, that's really Avodah Zarah. But the defense of Machnisei Rachamim goes, if I'm not giving it power, I'm saying, just allow my tefillahs to get in, but it's my tefillahs, so that is not as much of a problem. That seems to be the approach that Reb Usher Weiss takes. In the article in the Yeshurim Journal, a fellow, Rafi Stoll, who used to be here in Yeshiva, takes that approach. Also, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says something similar. Reb Shlomo Zalman says that maybe what we're doing is we're giving a tzivui to the malachim. We're telling the angels, you have to do this. You have to allow our tefillahs in. and therefore we're not elevating them. We're saying that you're just a machine. You just allow our tefillahs to go through. Be it as it may, I think the practice is that people say machnisei rachamim. In yeshiva, we try to change some of these texts. I remember when I used to daven ne'il in yeshiva, so Rav Shechter 1 year told me to change midas harachamim to the nusach of Rabbi Yaakov Emden, to be midas harachamim aleinu negalgol of nei koneinu tefiloseinu napila, etc. Midas harachamim is a further problem, because we're not beseeching an angel, we're beseeching one of the midos of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That is...
Now they just skip that line altogether.
Now in yeshiva, they just skip that line altogether. 1 year, I did that funny nusach. I have it written down on the side of my machzor. I went up, Dan Siegel, Olav HaShalom, got me to, like, try... I spoke to Rav Shechter. But I think today, in most places, they say Midas HaRachamim for sure, which is much less of a problem. They say Machni, say Rachamim, and the like. Again, in part, I think anything that the reformers try to get rid of, so we feel a chiyuv not to get rid of. Maybe it's late, so I'm happy to stay and take people's questions, but we will end this year now, and people want to stay and ask questions for Vakasha.